Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. Now, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. Yes, and we better just jump right into it. Get started right away. Welcome back to the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors. But we do focus on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. That's right. It's the Weekly Worldview. And we're so glad to have you aboard. As here at the McBurney Compound, we continue to pack up the plantation and get ready to head for the country. And after nearly 8 years here at the current McBurney Compound, you know, I thought I had finally figured out the whole light switch arrangement in our kitchen. But this morning, I turned on the garbage disposal again instead of the light. So it's obviously hopeless, and we might as well just move out. It's time to go. Yes, next weekend is the big weekend. This week is the big packing week. The truck and all that stuff. But I want to make it clear that contrary to popular opinion, the McBurney clan is not going off the grid. We're not going to be building any tinfoil hats and going off the grid and staking out the new McBurney compound for black helicopters or anything like that. I believe that the place we're moving to, if I'm not mistaken, it has electricity. It does have its own well. It's not attached to the municipal water supply. So we'll be off the grid in that respect. But we've got electricity out there. We've got heat. We may even have internet, but we may go dark for a couple weeks. It's hard to say what's going to happen, but we are making the big move. Glad to be going. And I just learned that while I was working this week, my extremely attractive audio engineer made a down payment on our first goat. Yep, first goat. It's funny, you call these goat people and they say, meat or milk? We say, well, kind of pet at this point. We're not looking for meat goats or milk goats. We just want goats that the girls can pet and feed. And they look at you a little funny, but anyway. Eventually, we may be milking and eating. Who knows? But if you name a goat, it's got to be hard to eat that goat later. So maybe we won't do any meat goats. But anyway, just a programming note. We may go dark for a couple of weekends. We'll have to see what happens. And if the civilizational collapse does come, well, then we will go off the grid along with everybody else. But we don't anticipate that happening. Although the signs are there, the whole world has gone insane and continues to go even more insane. Listen to this. Breitbart is reporting that PFC Bradley Manning is set to debut as a contributing writer to the Guardian newspaper in their U.S. edition. Now, I'm not sure how you do that. From Fort Leavenworth, but apparently he is going to be allowed to write a column. What do they say here? That's Bradley Manning. You remember him. He's the WikiLeaks guy. Is he the WikiLeaks guy, or is that a different guy? That's another pasty little... I think that's a different guy. No, Bradley Manning was part of the largest breach of national secrets in history. Yes, indeed, and it was to WikiLeaks. Yes, and he's been sentenced to 35 years at Leavenworth, but he's going to write a column in the newspaper. Yes, they say he's going to write about war, gender. Of course he's going to write about gender. What else is Bradley Manning going to write about? How is he going to write about war? I don't think he ever experienced any war, except the war going on in his own mind as to whether or not he's a boy or a girl. He's going to write about war, gender, and freedom of information issues. As you can well imagine, Bradley Manning, now poster boy for the death penalty for treason. Because if you allow someone like this to live, they end up writing a column in the newspaper. Tell me that at least the American government, the American justice system and the military, tell me they're not gone completely insane that PFC Manning is going to write for the Guardian. Yeah. Okay. Well, now we move on to the freak of nature file. Bryn Mawr College... You may have heard of it. It's an all-women's liberal arts university in Pennsylvania. They have now clarified their admission policy to accept trans women and individuals who identify as women. That's right. The Board of Trustees discussed transgender, non-binary, and gender non-conforming applicants, and they've hammered out a policy in relation to how they will process freaks of nature into Bryn Mawr College. Let's see here. The school is now open to those applicants who were assigned female at birth, trans women, intersex individuals who live and identify as women at the time of application, and intersex individuals who do not identify as male, but do not necessarily identify as female. They just don't. They just choose not to identify. So it's a bit confusing, but bear with me. Now, I find it interesting how the Free Beacon reports. Well, I guess it's not the Free Beacon reporter. They're quoting the Board of Trustees at Bryn Mawr College when they say they are open to applicants who were assigned female at birth, as if they were assigned their sex, which is just ridiculous. And when you read it on the written page, it looks outrageously stupid. But there it is. Let's see, we have a quote here from the board. They say, quote, "In evaluating such additional information, the college fully intends to be as flexible and inclusive as possible." However, the Free Beacon reports the college will not be inclusive to trans men. Now, does anyone in the peanut gallery know what trans men are? Now, I'm assuming a trans woman is someone who was born a boy and assigned themselves girl later on. A trans man must be a woman who has transitioned to a man, in which case Bryn Mawr will stop admitting certain women if they transmogrify over into masculinity. They're going to not accept women who've made themselves men, apparently. So they are going to maintain some discrimination somewhere, but it makes very little sense. Let's see. Yes, no trans men, but Bryn Mawr's College University, their policy allows for students' gender identity to change while they attend college. So you could sign up as a trans woman. If you're having trouble in your classes, you think you're not going to pass, maybe you're just trying to get some of your money back and escape to a real university, well, you could trans over to a man and then they'll kick you out, I guess. Anyway, so the whole world continues to go insane. And you wonder why certain people want to just go off the grid. I mean, I understand it. I don't necessarily want to go off the grid myself, but I certainly understand it. Let's move on now to reason number 875 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. As reported by Fox News, a Florida high school student was disciplined this past week after a national atheist organization took offense when the student concluded the morning announcements by saying, "God bless America." Yeah. The American Humanist Association says that the student violated the Constitution and broke the law by invoking God's name over the public address system. The American Humanist Association demanded the school immediately cease and desist under the threat of a lawsuit. So they were going to call in the lawyers on this Nassau County School District in Florida. The humanists wrote in their letter to the administration at the government school, they wrote, quote, "Because attendance is mandatory, the students have no way of avoiding this daily message," in which God's name was. Well, first of all, I want to let the American Humanist Association know that government school attendance is not mandatory. You ignorant heathens, you don't have to send your kids to the government schools. And there are millions of Americans who have chosen to opt out, as a matter of fact, which you heathens are welcome to do at any time. Just get out and shut up. Let's see here. Yeah, that would leave the schools empty if all the Christians pull their kids out. And then the atheists, who are afraid that the kids might hear about God, they pull their kids out. Pretty soon the whole system collapses. Well, the humanists wrote a letter threatening a lawsuit to the administration, and within 24 hours they received a mea culpa from the principal, assuring them that such behavior would not happen again. We will not have the name of God cross the lips of any of our students, we promise. The principal approached them in a fetal position, said, "Thank you, sir, may I have another?" And there you have it. Reason number 875 to get or keep your children out of the government schools, they're not allowed to mention nor hear the name of the living God. And that's just not a good education. And that's just not my that's not just my opinion. That's a fact. So, we will move on into the domestic tranquility file. A new report out, reported in the Washington Examiner this past week. They report that the nuclear family in America, where both biological parents are at home, is officially in meltdown. Yes. As a matter of fact, less than half of all American teenagers now have grown up with their biological parents, and less than 20% of black teenagers are currently living with their biological mom and dad. The American family is in complete meltdown. It's disastrous for the future of civilization, not only here in America, but around the world. The author of the new report, Pat Fagan, he's a director and a former deputy assistant secretary for family and social policy at the Department of Health and Human Services. Wow, what a title for a job. You know, when these government agencies start creating posts, eventually it gets to the point where you have like three or four lines in your job. I'm the assistant secretary for family and social policy at the Department of Health and Human Services. Well, he's out of government now, and he's, who wrote this report? Family Research Council, Pat Fagan. He says traditional marriage is in trouble, and without it, kids are deprived. He says during the last century, many worked to change the culture by severing sexual intercourse and the begetting of children from marriage. And they were successful in severing sex and childbearing from marriage. And he says this social experiment has failed. And indeed it has failed. And many of us were shouting from the rooftops a decade ago, two decades ago, about the attack on the American family and the implosion, the civilizational implosion that would follow. And we are now in that implosion, ladies and gentlemen. And Mr. Pat Fagan is exactly correct, and the data doesn't lie. I was actually shocked by the 20% of black teenagers. That's terrifying to think of that many young people whose families are broken and shattered. And how are they going to deal with that going forward? How are they going to raise functional families when not only their family was broken and destroyed, but all the families around them? They're simply going to have nowhere to moor themselves unless they come and visit Denver Bible Church. Yes, and they can feel free. Now, Denver Bible Church is moving as well. Now, they're not going out into the sticks or going off the grid. They're moving into an actual church building. So if any of these families need a place to moor themselves to reality, they need to bring some paintbrushes for the first few weeks. And if anyone knows, if they know how to lay carpet, that would be handy too. Plumbing and electrical, yeah, we could use all of that. But we would be happy to give any of these broken children and their hapless parents an opportunity to reconnect with reality. Just come on out to Denver Bible Church, but be sure to bring a tool belt. Yeah, we'll need some of that. Deeper into the domestic tranquility file. This is from the Associated Press out of Cleveland, Ohio. An 11-year-old girl has been charged with murder in the beating death of a 2-month-old baby girl. Two months old. FBI crime statistics show there were 20 children aged 12 and under in the U.S. who were accused of murder in 2012. That's the most recent year for which statistics are available. Just a lot of shocking data right off the top. 20 kids under the age of 12 accused of murder? Well, in this Cleveland case, the 11-year-old beat this child to death, and the police chief says that the 11-year-old who's accused of murder did not show any remorse. He says, "I'm not sure she appreciated the gravity of what she did." And that very well may be the case. This 11-year-old is a representative of a generation growing up in a completely broken society. A society that has drifted so far from civilized reality that we have a score of children under 12 accused of murder. I mean, I understand that the proctocracy insists that we must tolerate a certain level of crime and violence within our midst so that they can make a good living. But this is just shocking. And this is terrifying as we look out into the future. Which way are we headed as a society? I mean, I know which way the McBurney clan is headed. We're headed out into the pasture. We're going to raise some goats and mind our own business and do our best to spread the word. But what about the rest of you people? What's going to happen to our country? What's going to happen to the next generation of kids? It's scary to think about what's going to happen. And it almost makes you realize how it could be that some young kids in America, teenagers, are somehow attracted to radical ideology, Muslim fanaticism. I mean, it gives me some insight as to how these people can recruit right here in our own country. When we look around, and if you look closely enough, and if you care to analyze all the facts, you'll find out that, forget about the sleeper cells. We've got savages in our midst already. Coming back at you. Into the justice file now from that. Into the justice file. Colorado has, they say, will spend at least $7 million to try James Holmes. James Holmes, the theater shooter, who was captured outside the back of the theater with everyone's blood on him, guns in his hands, and has admitted that he did it. The district attorney's office will not release officially information, but the estimates are it'll cost about $7 million to try him. This is the proctocracy in action. All the lawyers involved in this James Holmes trial, from the judge to the prosecutors to the public defenders, are using a good portion of those millions of dollars to make their house payments, their car payments, their 401k contributions, to fund their retirements. This is what the proctocracy has given us. Murder has been legislated into a profitable industry. Yeah, and by the way, the legislators, they're all lawyers too. That's right, they're all lawyers. Feathering their nests with the blood of the innocent. Unbelievable. So let's go to the very tip top of the proctocracy. Yeah, the United States Supreme Court. We delve into the politics file. This is from CBS News in Washington. United States Supreme Court Justice and 81-year-old Ruth Bader Ginsburg says that she, quote, wasn't 100% sober at the State of the Union address. In other words, she was hammered. And that she's trying to explain why it was she passed out during Barry's speech. If you all got a chance to see that. I'm surprised they didn't call in the EMTs, because she looked dead as a stone. Her head was hanging down, it was like hanging down between her elbows. I mean, she looked like she had passed from the scene right there. Well, she says that she went to a State of the Union. Before that, she had dinner, and one of the other justices brought wine, and she said the dinner was so delicious, I needed wine to accompany it, and then she passes out. Now, my problem with Ruth Bader Ginsburg is not that she had a few pops before what was bound to be an extremely boring speech. I mean, half the people who watched that speech needed a drink at some point during that speech. My problem is not with Ruth having a drink or two. My problem with Ruth Bader Ginsburg is when she's sober. Yes, here we have Ruth Bader Ginsburg, another story, as reported from Bloomberg. In an interview where we assume that Ruth Bader Ginsburg was sober as a judge, so to speak, Ginsburg said the following, quote,
"The public's increasing acceptance of gays will not take long. It will not take a large adjustment for Americans should the justices say that gay marriage is a constitutional right. They're ready for it. Get in line. I'm a lawyer." The change in people's attitudes on that issue has been enormous,
unquote, says Ruth Bader Ginsburg. In a sober moment, basically saying that it's just going to be a tiny little blip, a little bump in the road when America legalizes homosexual marriage. And you know my prediction is that it will come in June, the traditional month in which normal people get married. The Supreme Court will legalize a homosexual marriage, and Ruth Bader Ginsburg says, well, we're all ready for that. She's fine with that. She's ready to do it. Anything else? Bloomberg reports that Ruth Bader Ginsburg is the oldest justice and a two-time cancer survivor. She says she has no plans to retire. She's a poster child for the fact that God is a merciful God. The fact that he has allowed her to live so long in such utter rebellion to everything that is good and right is a testimony to the mercy of God. Ruth, she was asked if she had any plans to retire. She said, "No, when I begin to slow down, I think I'll know. And it hasn't happened yet." Well, Ruth, I mean, when you can't have a glass of wine without passing out with your head in your lap, and you think it's okay for homos to get married, maybe it is time for you just to get out. Get out of here with that, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. All right. So we move from the justice file. I know that was the politics. We move into the proctocracy file. Proctocracy having now established its own official file here at the Weekly Worldview. United States District Court Judge Callie Grenade is extremely upset with Judge Roy Moore down in Alabama. She's a district court judge who says that the boys and the girls, they need to start marrying each other as soon as possible. Boys need to start marrying boys. She basically says she has struck down Alabama's ban on deviant, perverted, so-called marriage. And she insists that she has struck it down, but the chief of the Alabama Supreme Court, Judge Roy Moore, says, wait a minute, you haven't struck it down. So he told his judges not to marry off the boys to the boys. And she wrote a letter to a particular judge down there, Judge Don Davis. Judge Don Davis took the advice of Supreme Court Justice Judge Roy Moore and was not issuing marriage licenses to various homos, deviants, perverts, and garden variety sodomites. And so she fired off a letter to Judge Don Davis, and she said the following, quote, "This injunction binds Judge Davis to recognize same-sex marriages." That's the way I took it anyways. She was quite upset. She said, basically, you are going to wear the ribbon. You will wear the ribbon. Who's not wearing the ribbon? Well, he wasn't wearing the ribbon, so she said, you have to. And Judge Davis's attorney answered, this is unbelievable. Talk about the proctocracy ruling. Even the judges have lawyers. They need lawyers of their own. So Judge Davis's attorney says now that well, Judge Davis was subject to an order from thought he was subject to the order from Alabama Supreme Court Justice Roy Moore, but now he knows he is subject to the order from the U.S. District Court, and both the judge and his lawyer assume the prostate position before the one of the leading officials of the homosexual mafia, and they have been duly subjugated now. Judge Davis, as of last report, is now issuing marriage licenses to homosexual couples. Let's see here. The Alabama Policy Group and the Alabama Citizens Action Program have filed a lawsuit to stop Alabama probate judges from issuing licenses to homosexual couples. You know, folks, the fact that marriage is up for debate and that lawyers are funding their retirement now through this sort of litigation is a clear sign that the culture war has been lost. And the deviants and the perverts and the enemies of everything good and right and holy and clean and pure and innocent, they're just involved in mopping up operations. While the normal people are left, basically, we're fighting a rear guard action. We're just hoping to get our kids out alive at this point. That's how badly we have been defeated in the culture war. Thanks to the leadership, by the way, of a whole lot of lawyers. And I think a whole lot of homos, by the way. In fact, I've got a story here from the Northwest. Let's see, where was it? It's Oregon. That's right, Oregon. The governor up there has been embroiled in a scandal. And according to the Washington Post, criticism has been mounting in recent weeks over how Governor John Kitzhaber, how his office basically paid his girlfriend to work for him. She was an economic policy advisor and a paid consultant in his office on green energy issues. And so, she got a couple of $100,000 from the governor. The governor hires his girlfriend. It's a patronage job. It's a long tradition that goes all the way back, probably to Nimrod, if you go back far enough. And so that this judge has been forced to resign. And many of us on the right were rather entertained by the fact that this liberal Democrat governor hired his girlfriend, got caught, and got fired, or at least had to resign. But he is to be replaced now by Oregon Secretary of State Kate Brown. Yes, Kate Brown, who is married to her husband Dan Little, she's a full-on publicly avowed bisexual. And she has publicly discussed, well, things that just shouldn't be discussed in public. She's talked about the fact that she's a bisexual in her past political campaigns, which I'm sure is, that's got to be hard on the husband, right? Husband Dan, I don't know that he spoke out much about it. So anyway, we get a traditional leftist who hires family members, friends, girlfriends, fiancés, whatever, pays her a couple $100,000. And now we have to exchange that, which is kind of just old-fashioned political graft, with now we've got a publicly announced pervert who's going to be the governor of Oregon. And I don't know, I can get my mind around graft. What I can't get my mind around is Secretary of State Kate Brown's poor husband, Don Little, and his publicly bisexual wife. That's just got to be some life for old Don. We'll be right back. almost as if my extremely attractive audio engineer is psychic or something. She didn't know I was about to tell this next story from CNN. A big shocker. David Axelrod has written a new book. If you don't know who David Axelrod is, well, I hate to inform you because your life is better off just not knowing who David Axelrod is. But he's basically, he is the white liberal who engineered the election of America's first African-American president, Barack Hussein Obama. David Axelrod, big Democrat political operative there in Chicago. Well, in his book, he writes, shockingly, that Barack Obama did not actually oppose homosexual marriage during his campaign and his first term. He says that Barry said that he opposed homosexual marriage during his 08 campaign and through most of his first term due to political concerns. Yes. And yes, he says Barry grudgingly accepted the counsel of more pragmatic political folk like Axelrod and modified his position to support civil unions rather than marriage. You remember when Barry basically split that baby in half. He said, yeah, I support civil unions, but not marriage. Marriage is a sacred institution, said Barry. Of course, we all remember then. In 2010, Barry started saying that his views were evolving, and by 2012, Obama announced that he, in fact, supported homosexual marriage. And who knows, maybe by 2016, that might be the year that Barry actually comes out of the closet himself. Maybe he proposes to his body man, Percy Love or Bobby Love or whatever his name, Love, Barry's body man. Maybe Barry will get down on one knee and actually propose on national television right there in the Oval Office. To 2016, it could be the year. After all, Barry's been evolving for quite some time. Now, anyone who believed that Barack Obama didn't support the homosexualization of America with full-throated vigor, if you believe that, then you're just a dope. You're a moron. And you shouldn't have been allowed to vote if you believed Barry on that. Yes, I believe that the right to vote should be restricted. And there are people who are just too stupid to vote. And if you believed Barry, you were one of those people. You should have had your voting card stripped from you for being so stupid. Now, let's move on to something I agree with and I'm actually happy about. A Montana lawmaker, Representative David Moore by name, has introduced a bill in the Montana legislature basically to try to tighten up the state's indecent exposure laws after a group of liberals, naked on their bicycles, rolled through Missoula in August of last year. This upset David Moore that a bunch of naked freaks are riding their bikes right through the capital city. Is Missoula the capital of Montana? No, it's Helena. Anyway, they were rolling through Missoula, and he didn't like it. So he's trying to pass a law that says it's against the law to be naked in public. If you can believe that, he has to pass a law. I mean, to have to even introduce that type of legislation tells you that there's something dramatically wrong with your society. If you have to tell people that it's not legal to run around naked or ride naked on bicycles, something very bad is happening. But what I agreed with in the interview was Representative David Moore was asked about his views on indecent exposure, and he said this, quote, "Yoga pants should be illegal in public," unquote. And I agree with him wholeheartedly, for crying out loud. I mean, there's enough sexuality saturating our entire civilization. You can't even walk around in public anymore without women who are basically in spandex. It's just very distracting, and it should be illegal, as a matter of fact. It's impossible for two men to sit down in a restaurant and have any kind of conversation without being distracted by a woman who walks in, and it's just disgusting. And I agree, they should be outlawed. That's the solution, right? If the men should just go gay. If they just went gay, the yoga pants wouldn't distract us, and we get a lot more done, I guess. That's what's going to happen. Then you've got men who are going to be... I just don't even want to go down that road. Okay, the first law that will be instituted in the new McBurney compound is that yoga pants will be illegal in public. Okay. So there, that's right. We may secede from the whole thing before it's all over. Yeah, dig a moat around the whole thing. All right. We move now from the yoga pants, for crying out loud. It's unbelievable. How is it that a parent, a father, can let his daughter walk around? I just can't understand it myself. I have a feeling that a lot of young parents are vicariously living out their deviant sexual fantasies through their own kids. And that's horrifying to me. That's child abuse, to let your teenage daughter walk around in spandex pants. All right. So I guess I've made my point on that. Let's move to the bad religion file. By the way, my extremely attractive audio engineer agrees. So I've made the motion, and she has seconded it. That means it is the law out at the McBurney Ranch. Okay, let's move on to the bad religion file. For that, we go to a report from CNS News. There is an anchor on CNN television, which apparently is a news channel, and his name is Chris Cuomo. And he has opined live on TV. Well, let me just tell you what he was arguing with Judge Roy Moore, who was noted earlier. By the way, one of the bravest politicians in America is Judge Roy Moore, one of the few people willing to stand up against the homosexual mafia and try to stop the avalanche of filth that the homosexuals are unleashing on our country by basically staking claim to the sacred institution of marriage that was ordained by God. That's what they've done. And Judge Roy Moore stood up against them, so he goes on Chris Cuomo's show. Cuomo, I believe, is the son of the sitting governor of New York, if I'm not mistaken. Or is it the mayor? No, the governor. Yeah, he's the son of the sitting governor of New York, Chris Cuomo is. So he should have some familiarity with our nation's founding documents and our history and whatnot. But he was debating with Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore, and Moore argued that rights cannot be handed down by men, implying the obvious, that our rights come from God, our Creator. Well, Cuomo blurted out the following, quote, "Our rights do not come from God, Your Honor, and you know that. They come from man. That's your faith, that's my faith, but that's not our country. Our laws come from collective agreement and compromise," said the son of the sitting governor of New York. So, ladies and gentlemen, America is no more. Except in the fond memories of those of us who remember her, and we are fewer and fewer every day, the next generation does not understand where our rights come from, and so they will give them away. They will surrender their rights in the name of collective agreement and compromise. They will sacrifice what is actually right and true and just. And what scares me is that my children have to grow up alongside these people. The people who are going to give away my children into slavery are at the top of the proctocracy. And they are poised to take the nation in a direction that would have shocked, well, it shocks me, and it would have terrified the men who founded the country. In fact, they would have taken up arms against it, I do believe. He actually said it. That our rights do not come from God on television. And he was not fired, by the way. He was not censured. He was not suspended. There was virtually no controversy amongst the liberals. They all, I think at CNN, they probably looked at you. Oh, that's probably right. Since there is no God, our rights can't come from God. Our rights come from the president, I guess, and the Congress, the Supreme Court. As they're shackled one to another and dragged into slavery. I just hope they don't drag my kids along with them and my grandkids. All right. I do want to report a little bit of good news, because this is something that I had actually been hoping for. Breitbart is reporting on a Christian insurgency in the Middle East. Yes, an initiative by Major General Michael Nagata. He's the commander of American Special Operations Forces in the Middle East. brought together a group of experts to figure out a strategy for weakening the Islamic State's appeal there in the Middle East. At the end of it all, the general expressed dismay that has become a common theme of the Obama administration. His report said the following: "We have not defeated the idea. We do not even understand the idea," in reference to the Islamic State. This is the general in charge of special operations admitting that not only have we not defeated it, we don't even understand it. We don't even know what's going on. Well, Breitbart says, enter the Christians. With limited dollars, American Christians are having far-reaching success that few outside their circle know about. Christian groups are putting the tools of social media to work for their cause. Their messaging is having a profound resonance in the Middle East and Africa. Isik Abla is a Turkish woman who converted to Christianity from Islam. She now broadcasts daily into Muslim-majority countries. She wrote a book called I Dreamed Freedom, an abused Muslim girl's journey to find freedom. It describes her dysfunctional family, rife with addiction, abuse, and infidelity, and her eventual conversion to Christianity. And today she's on the air sharing her story openly with Muslims, bravely broadcasting on the radio. She offers messages of empathy, hope, and love. A recent post on her Facebook page says, quote, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." And she's got all these social media hashtags that she's launched, basically focusing the message, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, on the Muslim woman who she knows are primarily enslaved and in misery. And she's very brave. Brother Rahid is another popular convert to Christianity. He hosts a weekly call-in show entitled Daring Questions, in which he challenges Muslims to think hard about their faith. And he debates Muslim scholars. On one website in the Middle East, Daring Questions was streamed over 10 million times. And on another website, it was downloaded over 1.5 million times. And Breitbart reports that this would suggest that Muslims are hungry for meaningful discussion and debate about their faith. They say that the Islamic world is in deep crisis. Why do you think these fanatics have gone berserk in the Middle East? Just like any other kind of mad dog killer, when they realize that their empire is being threatened and that they could lose what they have, the power they have over other people, they lash out with violence and destruction. And that's what's happening with ISIS and the other Boko Haram and the other fanatics in the Middle East. They realize that their whole edifice is just a house of cards that will collapse under the weight of the gospel. And so they lash out with brutality and violence. Breitbart reports there are wide-ranging debates going on across the world over the future of Islam, and that America is simply not taking seriously the ideas that drive the enemy. And that's fine. You can't expect a bunch of atheistic lawyers running the proctocracy to understand how to win a religious war. And you don't necessarily win a religious war on the field of battle, although that will be necessary. The war for the hearts and minds of the Muslim world can be won in love by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah, my prayer would be that God grant our military the ability to deal with the ones on the field of battle who need dealing with, and grant the rest of us the wisdom and the nerve, the bravery to preach the gospel in a part of the world that is dark and needs it. Move on now. We've got the collapse of Europe file here. The Gateway Pundit reports that a French artist put up a large coexist display. You're familiar with this, right? You've seen this on the bumper stickers, typically on a Subaru with a short-haired, relatively unattractive female behind the wheel. The coexist, right? You know, it uses the Muslim crescent as the letter C, the Star of David as the letter X, and a Christian cross as the letter T. Well, this French artist put up a large display on a wall in Paris, and he was confronted by Muslim students and asked to take it down. The Gateway Pundit, Le Monde, the newspaper there in France, reported that four young people asked the artist to remove it. Well, the Gateway Pundit clears it up. The four young people were actually Muslims. And he said he would not remove it, so they beat him within an inch of his life. They beat him up severely and end up in the hospital. The artist declined to discuss the identity of his assailants. He says, that would only add fuel to the fire. He just wants to coexist. He wants to give the Muslim youth the option of growing up in a world saturated with sexual immorality and bereft of anything related to God or righteousness or right or wrong. And they don't want that. So they beat the artist up. And these people need the gospel of Christ. They're not going to buy into the decadent self-worship of the European humanists. That's not going to work. And here's a perfect example of it. Coexist indeed. So they beat him to a pulp, and he ends up in the hospital. A very sad situation. Another sad situation. Kayla Jean Mueller has been killed by the Islamic State. They sent a private message to her family that apparently showed the proof of death. How heinous is that? These people are vicious savages. These are the people who have to be dealt with on the battlefield. So our fearless leader of the humanist proctocracy, Barry Obama, issued a statement expressing profound sadness over the slaying of Kayla Jean Mueller. And then a little later on in his list of platitudes, he did vow justice for her killers, proving once again that he does not understand the nature of the conflict, nor will he be the one to assist our side. So this is now, I can't count now how many Americans, civilians, that these Islamic fanatics have butchered and killed right in front of us on video and taunted us with their deaths. And still, Barack Obama has not vowed vengeance upon them. He has not vowed to destroy them, to fight them to the last man. And that's what we need in our commander-in-chief. And that's not what we get from Barry Obama. But there's no surprise there. But I'm just very shocked that even with this, now he's killed a woman, and women are, they're one of the liberals' favorite minorities. And even this can't shake them out of their inability to recognize the nature of the conflict. It's just unbelievable. All right, but the president has spoken on another front. We have a report from the Weekly Standard that Samantha Power now says that ground troops will be necessary to defeat ISIS. So the president has finally spoken on the issue of ground troops. President Power insisted on MSNBC's Morning Joe that boots on the ground will be needed, troops on the ground, but President Power says they're not going to be American ground troops. So she's just declared it, and when the president speaks, so let it be written, so let it be done. She says the Iraqis and the Syrian moderate opposition can fight the fight on the ground for the forces of Western civilization. That's President Samantha Power's plan, and as far as we know, Barack Obama will sign off on her order. That's what they plan to do, is to arm one group of pagan fanatic murderers against another group of more radical pagan fanatic murderers. And then somehow that's supposed to result in eventually democracy and human rights for all the women in the Middle East. Yeah. Well, she just said it. And Samantha Power, when she says it, that's all we need to know. So forget everything I said. Everything's going to be fine. President Samantha Power is on the case, and she has a plan. Now, meanwhile, all these earthquakes down there in Dallas, you remember that? Everyone was wondering, is it fracking? Is it the new football stadium? Is it the fact that Tony Romo hasn't been fired yet? What's going on with the earthquakes? Well, turns out that scientists have identified, seismologists, in fact, which are real scientists, have identified a fault line that runs right through Irving and into Dallas, Texas. It's about 2 miles long and 3 to 5 miles deep. They say this is not the formation of a new fault. This is just a reactivation of a fault that has existed, they say for hundreds of millions of years. They say I find it amusing that scientists who insist that they know the age of the universe and how everything started, but they didn't catch a fault running through Dallas. Okay. But they know everything else. Forgive me if I remain a little bit skeptical. You know what this indicates to me is that the Earth is relatively unstable, and we've got fault lines running through Dallas, Texas that we didn't know about. So I think it would behoove the government to take the possibility of severe earthquakes a little bit more seriously. I mean, if the Earth was 13 billion, or how many billion? 5 billion? If the Earth was 5 billion years old, would it still be percolating with fault lines? I don't think so. I think the Earth is relatively young, relatively unstable, and that the threat from earthquakes is significantly underestimated by the government. And this is one of the areas where the government actually has the just authority to act and to pass rules about building codes and things like that. But and the Dallas mayor says that the city is going to look at building codes, which is good news. Anyway, for all of you people there in Dallas, I'm sorry to hear that you found out you've got a fault line running from Irving to Dallas. That's just kind of astonishing. That's all. Now, this other news about the climate. Let's see here. Published temperature graphs from three weather stations recorded an actual trend of cooling, but the data was basically fudged to show global warming. And this meteorologist has been checking on all these weather stations, and he's found out that they're basically just making up data. And this story spent 2 days at the top of the Drudge Report, and I'm just looking at it and I'm saying, is this news? How is this news? I thought this was news like 3 years ago, but apparently some people are still not sure that global warming has been proven to be nothing but a socialist hoax. And then, well, there you have it. So I felt compelled to report it, since other people thought it was newsworthy. Into the personhood file, quickly, as we come to the end here. From Fox in New York, Jamie Brewer, young lady, became the first woman with Down syndrome to walk the catwalk during New York Fashion Week. Now, I am not a fan of Fashion Week or New York or the catwalk or any of that stuff, but I just found this to be a heartwarming story, that here's a young lady with Down syndrome who's up there with some of the most famous and respected models in the world on the catwalk at Fashion Week in New York. And it reminded me of the last time my extremely attractive audio engineer and I were pregnant, and the doctors asked if we wanted to do a test on the baby to see if it had Down syndrome, we said, no, we don't. Why would we want to test that? Well, here's why. ABC reports that an estimated 92% of all women who receive a prenatal diagnosis of Down syndrome kill their kids. The number of Down syndrome cases is declining enough in the United States to raise concerns that now that research funding to study the congenital condition will dry up. So charities are no longer raising money to fund studies to try to cure Down syndrome because parents and doctors are just killing them. They're just killing them off. So this woman, Jamie Brewer, who walked on the catwalk, she was one of the 8% who survived a Down syndrome diagnosis. Anyway, it's just, we call ourselves a civilization. We're killing kids because they're sick. Is that really a civilization? I don't think that counts as civilized. If you find out your child is sick, shouldn't you help your child? Shouldn't you love your child? Shouldn't you sacrifice something of yourself for your child? But no, the doctors and the mothers and the fathers are killing their kids because they're sick. And that's sick. That's really sick. All right, let's close here in the bad government file, something a little more lighthearted. You know the major snowstorms that have hit the East Coast over this past few weeks? Well, one was forecast for New Jersey, and a couple of teenage boys, a couple of 18-year-olds from Bound Brook, New Jersey, they started to go door-to-door in their neighborhood. They were handing out homemade flyers that offered snow shoveling services to their neighbors. Well, this caught the attention of the local police there. Now, you might ask, maybe the police wanted to hire them. Maybe they saw the flyer and they said, hey, let's have these guys come down the station. They can clear out the sidewalks for us. But no, the police were forced by the proctocracy to tell the kids they weren't allowed to solicit business without a permit from the local government. That's right, the lawyers running the government in Bound Brook, New Jersey, made the police actually confront these teenagers over trying to shovel snow. This caught my eye because the first business I ever started was when I was about 7 years old, and it was a snow shoveling business in my neighborhood, and I did it every winter, and I never got a permit, and certainly the police never talked to me about it. But this is the proctocracy, the rule of the lawyers, and the lawyers and the legislators and the judges and the politicians are all of the same ilk, and they have lied to us, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm afraid they've lost the republic right in front of our eyes. But keep your chin up, because there are enough of us left that we can rise again from the ashes that they will leave in their midst. And I will look forward to doing that right alongside you. We're moving. We're packing up the plantation, heading for the sticks. So we may be with you next week. We may be still digging the moat. We may be trying to find electricity. But we will be back. You can rest assured. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com, at AmericanRightToLife.com, PersonageUSA, TheologyOnline.com, and, of course, my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen. Here at the Weekly Worldview Studios, should the Lord tarry, we will return in short order. And until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.